offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. And so today we continue, as we're going back to basics, exploring what it is that unity teaches. What is unity? How are we different? How are we the same? And so we're looking at our five basic unity principles. And the first week, we looked at the principle that we recite together every single week. There is only one presence and one power active in my life and in the universe, God, the good, omnipotent. And the children's version is simply, God is. And then the second week, we explored our unity principle. Our essence is of God. Therefore, we are inherently good. The Spirit of God lives within each person. Therefore, all people are inherently good. And the children's version is simply, I am. And then last week, we explored the creative power of unity principle number 3. We create our life experiences through our way of thinking. Or we are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. And we were reminded that it's not the experiences themselves that we create, because stuff happens. It's how we respond, how we hold what happens in our lives, how we move through it that truly determines what our experience is. And the children's version is simply, I create. And so today we're looking at the fourth unity principle. There is power in affirmative prayer, which we believe increases the awareness of our God presence. Or through prayer and meditation, we align our heart-mind with God. And the children's version is simply, I pray and meditate. And so the first week, we were reminded, one presence, one power. The second week, we were reminded, and that presence is right here, right within us, right within every person. And then last week, we explored this beautiful, immense creative power that we have within us to determine how we walk in this world, how we carry ourselves, how we hold the experiences that happen to us. And sometimes that's really how it feels. Boy, that really happened to me. And all these messages, these spiritual truths, they're very lofty. It lifts our spirits. We soar. Last week we were really soaring with that creative power. This fourth unity principle I called the centering and the grounding principle, to bring us back to center, to remind us of the spiritual tools, the avenues that we have to experience who we are as children of God. There is an old saying, and Charles Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement, was known for saying it himself, not to be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly good. There needs to be this balance. As we walk on this physical plane, and we're reminded all too well that we are human, and to remember we're also spirit, we're divine, to find a way that we can walk and hold both, express both as purely and with as much honesty and integrity that we can from a base of wisdom and love. Unity believes that affirmative prayer is the highest form of creative thought. And when we say affirmative prayer, we are talking about moving into the space of prayer, and sometimes it's called denials and affirmations, but denials kind of gets a bad rap. So we call it releases, release and affirmation, where we let go of whatever thought we've been holding that's holding us back, whether it's unforgiveness, a deep-seated belief that we're not worthy, fear, whatever it might be, we release that, and then we affirm the spiritual truths, the spiritual truths of who we are. I am whole. I am prosperous. I am filled with wisdom. I am one with God. We affirm those things, that there is power, power in these affirmative prayers. And then, of course, meditation. Meditation where we connect and allow ourselves to be quiet and listen to Spirit. And both of these, prayer and meditation, increase our awareness of who we are, and our lives are transformed. Our lives are transformed. Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of the Unity Movement, Myrtle Fillmore is known for her deep-seated belief in the power of prayer. For she was told from the time she was a little girl that she was weak, that women in her family were frail, and she was treated as if she were a sick child. As she grew older, she contracted tuberculosis, and she was told tuberculosis runs in the family, and that she wouldn't live long. She went to school anyway. She went to Oberlin College and took a course to be a teacher, completed that course and started teaching, and she became sicker and sicker. She was in Ohio, and she moved to Denison, Texas, because the environment there was thought to be better for those with tuberculosis. So she moved there to get well. It was there that she met Charles, and that's another story, when they married and raised a family. And as they were raising their little boys, she again fell ill. And she felt that she didn't really have long to live. So she and Charles were quite desperate, and they were willing to try almost anything. And a friend advised them, that by now they were in Kansas City, advised them about a lecturer, Dr. E.B. Weeks, who was a student of Emma Curtis Hopkins, who's known as the teacher of teachers in the New Thought movement. So they went to this lecture. Why not? They'd been trying everything else. And in this lecture, Myrtle heard the words, "I am a child of God. Therefore, I do not inherit illness. I am a child of God. Therefore, I do not inherit illness." In that 1 hour lecture, Myrtle's entire life was changed. Her worldview, her life view was transformed as she released all these messages that she'd received as a child and as a young adult, all these deep-seated words that had been spoken and become rooted in her being, that she was sickly. And through a period of a year and a half, less than 2 years, she daily moved into prayer. She prayed to every center of her body, asking it for forgiveness, forever thinking it was less than anything, but absolutely perfect and whole. And she cured herself. And she believed, Myrtle believed, that every single person has within them the ability to heal. And five of her teachings I'll share with you today. The first is to believe with immense faith that you have the power, that you can be healed. Believe with immense faith, even if you have to fake it initially. Believe it, sit with it, hold it, that you can be healed. And then second, turn within. For Myrtle was convinced it's not a God out here that's going to fix you. It's the Spirit within. It's the Christ consciousness within. It's all an inside job. Turn within. Spend time with that divine essence of your being. Connect. Release. And sit in that space. And then to be optimistic is the third one. To be optimistic, to hold good thoughts. Don't leave that space sitting with God and then start griping about the neighbors or the weather or whatever. We hear today of people who receive horrible diagnosis and they sit in front of the television set at least an hour a day and watch old Lucy reruns, something to make them laugh. For this essence of diagnosis has a very heavy energy to it. And when we can lift ourselves out of that heaviness, we are healing ourselves. So the more we can stay in the light, the more we can lift ourselves, we're serving our bodies. The fourth is to rest every day. Spend time in the quiet, removed from distractions and rest. Yes, you might do devotional, prayer, and meditation. Give your body a rest. And then the fifth is to bless your body and bless your life. She blessed every part of her body, every cell, every space between the cell, and everything that's going well in your life. Acknowledge it. Thank God for it. Bless it. Honor it. Bless your body and your life. Myrtle Fillmore has been an inspiration for the power of prayer to heal for over 100 years. And she did this not by inviting people to come have a cup of coffee with her or through counseling, although there may have been some of that, or through a quilting bee, but through prayer circles, through gathering people together and praying. She did this first in her home. In 1907, Charles loved gadgets. They actually had a telephone. But people in her prayer circle called the Society of Silent Help would create a prayer and then they would say it together, either as they were together or wherever they were at the same hour every day. And that was the beginning of silent unity. The beginning of silent unity in 1890. And we know that silent unity today takes calls from all over the world, 24 hours a day, a live person answers your call with silent unity, how may I pray with you? Brings back memories, doesn't it, Aaron? Silent unity, how may I pray with you? And they hold that space for people of all faiths. The more people call silent unity that are not in unity, they're in other faiths. So Myrtle held that space of knowing of this strong foundation. And we are blessed here in Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center, for we were founded on that same foundation 33 years ago on the power of prayer and meditation by Reverend Evelyn Casper, our minister emeritus. We're very fortunate, for it's with these deeply rooted beliefs, this foundational beliefs allows us to be open-minded, as we spoke today, to embrace all, for we have deep roots. We know who we are. We're not in fear. We can reach our branches high and open to embrace all, for we know who we are at our core. We believe in the power of prayer. As we turn today, we're looking at the Gospel of Matthew. And Jesus has been... Poor Jesus, he's been working with those disciples, trying to explain to them, to convey to them what prayer is for. And prayer, publicly, is obvious in the synagogues or on the streets, and he's trying to convey to them that prayer is something very, very personal. And so as we look at the sixth chapter, verses 5 and 6, and whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is sometimes called the secret place of the Most High. That secret place within us Jesus was conveying that prayer is personal. It's not public. He was saying, pray in this manner. He wasn't saying, repeat these words. For prayer should always be fresh, anew, every day. It's a personal relationship. So he taught the disciples to approach prayer in reverence, yes, and then to open their heart so that their prayer is their communion, their communication, their connection with Spirit. And he was giving this example by moving off by himself into the silence, by going into the hillside for time and prayer. He was saying the words are irrelevant. The words do not matter. You know, when we were growing up, perhaps we learned a prayer that we said at bedtime. When we were growing up, perhaps we found ourselves wanting to talk to God only when things were going wrong. We might have found ourselves on our knees, pleading, crying, begging, negotiating. We might find ourselves there still, and that is not wrong. There is no prayer that is wrong. There are no words that are wrong. There is no name for God that is wrong. Meister Eckhart, 14th century mystic, says if the only prayer you ever say is thank you, it is enough. It is enough. This eternal connection awaits us, and we need only turn within. Charles Fillmore described the secret place of the Most High, a place of safety, an inner chamber, the place where we consciously meet God. And Dr. Emily Cady, author of Lessons in Truth, calls it a place or a meeting between the Christ at the center of our being and our consciousness. And it is secret because it's a hidden place that cannot be revealed and is inaccessible to any other person. It is unique to us. It is our place. It is our secret inner connection. For prayer is this inner line of communication. It is this inner contact with the wisdom and the understanding and the inspiration that we each contain within us. It is the inner awareness of spiritual truths. It's the inner remembering of who we are as children of God, and it's through this process that we find peace of mind, peace of heart, joy, and meditation. Meditation is where Spirit reveals itself to us. For we stop talking, we stop thinking, and we allow ourselves to be inspired by whatever comes to our mind. Ram Dass says, the quieter we become, the more we can hear. It is in the silence that I receive and I accept the guidance of what I'm to share with you every Sunday. The message I'm to give, the words I'm to share. This doesn't come from, I can't do this. I wouldn't want to do this on my own. My desire is only to touch my divine essence and to be guided. Prayer and meditation are amazing tools that we each have available to us. Do not be embarrassed if you've not prayed a lot before. Pray now. Pray in your own way. Pray in your own time. Pray in your own words and however you wish to do it. There's no position specifically to sit in. There's no time of the day. People who pray are inspired people. People who pray are strong and courageous. People who pray are happy and confident. This is what prayer can do for you. This is what prayer can do for me. Prayer is for everyone. And so my invitation today is to seek that place, that space within you, to touch that inner journey that is uniquely yours to oneness and to revel in the stillness of your being. And so it is this day. God bless you.